This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 114. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along the path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've stopped by to join us. Check us out at Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hi.
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to let you do a lot of talking today. This is the voice they do not want to hear.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you've been dealing with this voice issue for some time now.
I know. I did a really strong push the last 10 days to reach a high level goal. And I'm pretty much going to start backing off now. And of course, Amanda said, Yeah. But I have other content I want to generate. And if I have laryngitis continuously, and like you said, we don't want to make it permanent. Because I have a very sexy voice. When it's not laryngitis. So.
Sure.
Anyway, what's going on with this one?
Well, we've got three social media questions. And then after the break, we've got a savvy savings segment on ways to reduce your refinancing closing costs.
Ooh.
Yeah, refinancing is a big, big popular topic right now.
How are the rates now? Are they staying low?
Record lows.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. What do we have for question one?
So this is something we got from one of our followers. It's twofold. First, it's just a comment and then a question. So the comment is, I got out of debt in 2020 and I'm celebrating because it is possible with some determination and hard work. Stick to it, friends.
I love that.
Yes, yes. So that's great encouragement for all of the rest of our listeners. But also, I need some advice. When I was working on my taxes, the site said that I overpaid on my Roth by $186. Woot woot for maxing out. But what do I do with the $186? The website I used suggested withdrawing it or paying a penalty. Seems like there's bound to be a better option. Thoughts? Yeah. So this is a big thing that can happen. Once you start getting to a certain income level, the eligibility for contributing to a Roth IRA phases out pretty quickly until you have no eligibility to it. So the site's probably right. Your income level probably disqualifies you for making the full contribution. You're lucky you're able to make any part of the contribution. Generally, there's very few options for you. One is you reallocate it to this year's contribution. If you haven't already made your contributions for this year, you can do that. And then you just have to pay the 6% penalty. So 6% of 186 is, you know, not that much. Or you can do the withdrawal, pay the penalty, plus you'd have to pay tax, income tax on any of the gains associated with the $186. So those are really your two options, and it's going to depend on whether or not you've already contributed for this year. If you haven't contributed for this year, that's probably the easiest route, is to reallocate it to this year's contributions and then just pay the small 6% penalty.
At least it's only $186.
Yes, not the full 6,000. Like, right. I know some people who are facing the full 6,000 and both people in the relationship. So that's 12,000 plus the gains.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for those two people.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
So the other important thing is make sure you're estimating your income for next year so that if there's any way for you to make your income, your taxable income, lower than the threshold, you'll want to be doing some tax planning with your tax advisor now. Mm-hmm. Or your position correctly. Once you get to December, it's too late. So now that we're in February is a great time to plan for the rest of this year to make sure that you're eligible, or if you're not eligible, that you're not making those contributions and then have to deal with a penalty.
Sounds good.
That's why I always say make best friends with your tax advisor, because you need them throughout the year, not just during tax time.
Do you send your tax advisor like gifts, cards?
I should.
Flowers.
Yeah, I probably will this year. I'm sure he's sick of me with my dozens of emails. We finally just filed our taxes this week.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you'll be happy to hear I was pretty much right on the money with my tax withholdings and quarterly payments. I think we are off by $200. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very good. I have to really keep an eye on that this year because now I have all this self-employment that I have to keep a really good eye on because I have a payment due here soon.
So. Well, anyone who has any self-employment income is going to want to be making quarterly payments. Otherwise, you'll be hit with late payment penalties. If you, they don't care if you pay it by December. You have to be making quarterly payments throughout the year. Otherwise, you get hit with late penalties.
Yep.
Yeah, if you've got Uber money or you're making money selling things on Etsy, make sure you're making those quarterly payments.
A lot of people have side gigs now because of the pandemic. People have found great ways to make money.
Yeah. The other option is if you're just doing side gigs and you have a W-2 job, that's your daytime job, you can always increase your W-2 withholdings instead of making quarterly payments. That's another option. But again, you'll want to make sure you're withholding enough to cover that so you don't get those late penalties.
Perfect. All right. What else we got?
Question two. I'm going to transfer my traditional IRA that's sitting in my credit union to Fidelity. Do I transfer to another traditional rollover IRA or something else?
Ooh. This is a like-for-like situation, correct?
Yes. So you'll want to do a rollover like-to-like. So if you have a traditional IRA, you're going to want to roll it over into another traditional IRA. I really don't know the difference between a rollover IRA or just a regular IRA. I'm pretty sure it just has to do with how you open the account because there's really no such thing as a rollover IRA long-term. So that's probably just how the provider categorizes how you open it, because once you open the account, you have to immediately fund it. You can't just open an IRA and keep it at $0.
Right.
So they're going to want to know where the funding's coming from. And if it's a rollover, it takes a bit of time for that rollover transaction to complete.
As I said before, I prefer people do it electronically with Fidelity or something. You don't want them to send you a check. I don't you like do people not. With the money in there. And you only have 90 days, I believe, to get that in that other account.
You have a very limited amount of time and you can only perform that rollover once per year. Otherwise, it's considered an early withdrawal, even if you're following all of the rules. And then you get hit with taxes and penalties and the IRS is not forgiving. There is no excuse for not knowing the rules.
If you get that check, you'll suddenly see car ads and stuff pop up everywhere. Like, if I just take this thing down, I can go buy this car. No, you don't want to do that.
Right. And so the reason we say like to like is because if you were to roll over a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA, you can do that. That's perfectly fine. Just keep in mind there are tax consequences for that, which may be good or bad depending on your situation. If you convert from a traditional to a Roth now, you have to pay income tax on the amount that is rolled over. So if it's a very large amount, it may put you into a different tax bracket. It may make it so that your income level is too high now to be eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA for this year. There's a whole lot of things that go along with it. So the easiest thing to do is to do a like-to-like rollover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to dig deep into the conversion rules. Again, with your favorite person, the tax advisor. Number three. How is it too much home for my income? I thought the rule was to keep your house payment at the same or less as one paycheck.
Oh, no. That's almost like buying a diamond. What do they say when you buy a diamond? What is that rule? How many
3 months worth of
3 months of salary. Can you imagine doing that?
No, I can't. That's absurd to me.
So no, it is not a paycheck rule. We use 25% of your monthly take home income is the rule.
Right. Take home. And that's not pre-tax. That's after you've already had your tax withholdings. You already made your contributions to your retirement account. So it's your take home pay, your monthly mortgage plus plus anything you're putting into an escrow account for paying taxes or insurance should not exceed 25% of your household take-home pay. You also should not be taking out a mortgage for more than 15 years. And I know that's, I've seen a lot of controversy in our Facebook group on that.
Yes, I know.
And I just don't get it because people think it's just such a grand idea to take out a 30-year loan or refinance for 30 years to reduce their monthly payment by a couple $100s. Apparently, they love the idea of paying a couple $100,000 more in interest.
Right.
And that's not an exaggeration.
Or the plan is, well, I'm going to do the 30 and then make extra payments. Data shows that 90-some percent that do that don't do that.
They do not make the extra payments. So, they don't follow their own plan to make it a 15-year. So 15 years is the max that we coach, is what Dave Ramsey coaches, and that's only if you absolutely need to take out a mortgage.
And this goes for rent as well.
It does.
It's your housing.
So your budget. Rental payment should not exceed 25% of your household take-home pay.
It does get back to all of your budgeting that you talk about. That 25% is, that's your chunk for housing. And then you have your electric, food, entertainment, everything has a place.
Yeah. I'm really confused how someone could think that their monthly payment should be one full paycheck.
Because I guess that work?
Maybe they're thinking they get paid twice a month. And it's, so that would be half of a monthly take-home
50%.
Pay.
50%.
Yeah, that's
insane.
That's going to put you in a very tight spot in what we call house poor.
Oh, man. I couldn't imagine doing 50%. Mm-mm. Wow. You're really putting yourself at risk by doing that.
Yeah, I mean, any number of things can go wrong.
Trust me. I got a $14,000 HVAC sitting out there. Let me tell you something. And $50,000 roof. See, everyone forgets about all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, that you need to be budgeting an extra $1,000 a month for household repairs.
And the place to get that money is by not using one whole paycheck to base your mortgage on.
Right.
Anyway.
That's a good starting place for sure.
Yes, it is. All right, let's take a quick break. And we got the return of Savvy Savings. What are we doing for Savvy?
So today I'm going to talk about refinancing and how you can reduce those refinancing closing costs.
Ooh, I like that. All right, quick break. We'll be right back after this. You listen to Rock of the Money.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back. So he goes, hey, welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Check out our website at rockonthemoney.com, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. All right, we got the return of Savvy.
Savvy Savings. Yeah. So today I wanted to talk about refinancing. So, of course, with interest rates at an all-time low, refinancing is definitely becoming very popular right now. You know, if you're able to reduce your interest rate by more than one full percentage point and you plan to stay in your home for 5 to 10 years, this may be a good option for you to save mega money on interest payments. So we say 5 to 10 years because that's typically how long it takes to break even on closing costs. And closing costs is something that not everyone factors in when they see, get all these offers in the mail for refinancing. One day this week, we received six offers for refinancing in the mail. It was just crazy.
For your primary.
For my primary home, yes. Every single day we get at least one. So I know everyone's getting bombarded with these offers, and some of them look very enticing. One, do not under any circumstances do a cash out refinancing. Lots of them are offering, well, you know, you have extra equity. You can cash out some of this equity, making the same payments, not changing your payments or the length of your loan at all, but you get some cash in hand. Terrible idea, because then, you know, you're reducing the equity you have built in your home. A lot of other people are offering, well, you can wrap your closing costs in to your mortgage, so then you don't have to pay much out of pocket, maybe $500 or $600 out of pocket now to refinance. Also a terrible idea. Why on earth would you want to add to the balance of your loan? That makes no sense to me. I saw someone else giving that suggestion on our Facebook page, and it just enrages me.
Just do the math on how much that actually will cost you.
People are only doing the math on what their monthly payment.
That's all they care about. What happens today?
Yeah. So mortgage refinancing closing costs typically range from 2 to 6% of your loan amount, depending on the size of your loan. The national average for closing costs for a refinance are $5,749, including taxes, and $3,339 without taxes. And again, the taxes are going to vary depending on what state you're in. Like here in Florida, it can be an extra $3,000, $4,000 in taxes. So again, there's not a standard method to calculate refinancing costs. The amount you're going to pay depends on your lender, your location. But a good way to figure some of this out is to use a reliable like refinance calculator, and you can find them online. And you'll get an idea then of what kind of refinancing costs you will have. And then you can calculate where your break-even point is, which is the amount of time it could take to recoup those costs. Rule of thumb that we give again is 5 to 10 years. So some of the, and before we get into the tips here, I just wanted to kind of cover what some of these refinance costs are, because again, people think, well, I already paid closing costs up front. I'm sure I don't have to pay all these costs again, right? Well, not the case. So loan application fees, these still apply, and they can range from $75 to $500 depending on your lender. And that's just the application fee, because then there's also a loan origination fee or underwriting fee, and that can be 0 to 1.5% of the loan amount. You still need a home appraisal in most cases, which will be $300 to $400, maybe more, depending on your geography. Credit report fees, that ranges from $30 to $50. A title search and insurance fee, $400 to $900. And then mortgage points can be 1% of the loan amount per point. And again, points are prepaid interest, and that your interest rate, again, even though we're at historic lows, your interest rate may vary depending on your income, your credit score, and a number of other factors. And then there's also a settlement fee, which will be $500 to $1,000. So as you can see, it very quickly adds up to thousands and thousands of dollars on top of what you already owe on your home.
And many of this is designed to generate profits for the companies.
That's right. They're not there for you. They're not there to help you out. They're seeing a cash grab right now, because they can get all this extra money by encouraging people to close on a house again, because that's where they make a lot of their money, is from those fees.
And that's why they want you to roll it into the loan. You're like, oh, this is a great deal. It costs you. Well, it gives them an opportunity to get these fees in there.
Yes. And then they can charge interest on all these fees. Yeah, so again, you're just taking on more debt. So it's not that it's always a bad idea to refinance. It's just that you need to be educated on what that cost is going to be and whether you're going to stay in your house long enough to recoup those fees and see the benefit of it. So if you still have, you know, 25 years left on your loan, you think you're in your forever home, and you're going to save more than 1% in interest, it may very well be worth it to not break even for 5 years. But then the next 20 years after that, you're going to be seeing great reductions in your interest payments.
But right now is a great time to switch to a 15 or even a 10.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, of course, with so much money at stake, I'm here to help you find ways to reduce those costs. And here's some tips to help you get started. We have 7 of them. So the first one is get your assets, credit, and income in the best possible shape. Boost your savings to show your lender that you're able to withstand a rating day. They do ask for your liquid assets, and that is going to play an impact on what your what kind of interest rate you're going to get. So you want to aim for a 740 credit score or higher to get the best refinance rate and keep your debt to income ratio below 43% to reduce your riskiness as a borrower.
You know what's crazy?
What's that?
I have a 457 retirement account, right? Uh-huh. They will not consider that. No matter how much is in there because they're not allowed to touch it.
Yes, they're not going to count your retirement accounts. Those don't count. You have to have that rainy day fund in a liquid account like a high yield savings account that we're constantly suggesting. And your debt to income ratio is very important. So if you're only making, you know, $5,000 a month in income, and that's a pretty high amount. So that's a 2-income household, right? If you're only making $5,000 a month, but you have debt that is more than that each month, then you have a big problem. So these credit card bills, any type of car payments, existing mortgage payments, existing boat payments, existing, you know, snowmobile payments, if you're financing, you know, your appliances in your home now, because I know Lowe's and Home Depot offer that. Any of these costs are going to add up to debt. And if your income doesn't cover that, your ratio isn't going to be in a place to get you the best interest rates.
So do you mean in question 3, if I get 2 paychecks a month and my house payment is equal to 1, that would be 50%.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So that does not work. Okay. Right. Got it.
Number 2, shop around with multiple lenders. So before you decide to just refinance with your current lender, take a look at the competition and get 2 to 3 additional refinance quotes. And when you're getting these quotes, make sure that it's an apples to apples comparison, that you see how each of the line items is accounted for when you're making the comparison. Because sometimes a lender will give you just a high level quote and it won't include all of those fees that are then going to be part of the closing. Not to say it's not a good idea to stay with your current lender. Oftentimes it is, because they can waive a number of their own fees just to keep you as a customer. But I still would get multiple quotes, because then you can still negotiate with your current lender to have them reduce and match any other offers that you have.
I made a big mistake 2 years ago with this.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of LendingTree?
Yes, of course. They have lots of commercials.
So they will do the comparison for you, right?
Right.
So I got the app out. I filled out the thing. As soon as I hit that submit button, within 5 seconds, my phone went berserk with phone calls.
Yep.
I was like, I will never do that again. Be prepared if you do that.
That's right. So number 3 is very similar. You can negotiate lender fees. You can ask for certain fees to be reduced or waived, especially if you have a strong credit profile and substantial equity in your existing home. You know, just because they give you an offer doesn't mean that that's set in stone. There are a number of fees that the lender has control over, and you can certainly attempt to negotiate them. I've been successful every time with that.
You are the queen of negotiation.
Yes.
You will go to McDonald's and negotiate. You negotiate everything. And like you said, if you don't ask.
Yeah. I usually find a way to get a discount on everything.
You're amazing.
Coupons, you know, discount codes. Yes. Number 4, review your loan estimate. So again, go over that loan estimate with a fine-tooth comb and ask for clarification about any costs that you're not clear on. And you should take advantage of the comparison shopping for the services you're allowed to shop for, which can be found on page 2 of the loan estimate. So things like getting certain types of estimates on things, you can shop around for them. And they have a whole category of things that you can shop for. Most people don't, because they'd rather just let the lender deal with all the problems there. Number five, try for an appraisal waiver. So ask your lender if you qualify for an appraisal waiver. If so, you can save a couple hundred dollars on your refinance. This is the way to go, really, if you're not planning to do the cash out, which we don't recommend anyway. So it really doesn't matter what your house is going to be worth if you're just refinancing the loan amount. Yeah. So appraisal waiver is usually only going to apply if you're doing the exact same type of loan that you're refinancing.
And with the same lender as well.
With the same lender. Yeah. If you switch lenders, they're automatically going to require an appraisal. And if it's been a certain amount of time, they may require an appraisal anyway, because, you know, markets change.
Yeah.
Number six, work with the same title insurance company. So you can save money on a lender's title insurance policy by asking for a reissue rate. It's a discounted policy amount that you can get for working with the same title insurance company used for the original loan. And that's usually because they've already done the work once. So they have everything on file that they need, as long as you're still the same owner. And then number seven, avoid paying mortgage points. So there's no need to pay thousands for mortgage points if you're already satisfied with your refinance rate. Again, points is just another way of saying prepaying your interest.
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that though.
Yeah, because on paper, then it looks like you're getting a much better interest rate, but you're really not. You just prepaid the higher interest rate.
If you actually do what we coach, that shouldn't matter anyway. Because if you do it through the baby steps, we're going to try and pay this thing off earlier than you have the loan anyway. If you really do what we coach, all this makes no sense. Yeah. Prepaying, no, because you can get rid of it quickly. What do they say the average time is for paying off a mortgage of somebody that does all the baby steps? I think it's like 5 to 7 years.
It's 5 to 7 years. Yeah. So you can do it, just like our first question, the question from our first listener today. You know, you can do it. You just got to stick to it. You'll get out of debt.
Yeah, it's up to you if you want it. Well, that was great, Amanda. I really actually learned a few things in there. What's your business that you do on the side? Your referral.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I can provide referrals to really high quality real estate agents anywhere in the country, all 50 states, every zip code in every state. So you just have to go to choicerealtyconnect.com, fill out the form there, and we'll get you referred to up to 3 high quality agents. You can, you know, question each of the 3, figure out which one is a good personality fit for you, and then work with that agent, and they are really the most amazing ones in the business.
And it has nothing to do with mortgages.
It has nothing to do with mortgages. No, but
I didn't want to tie that into what we just did.
No, nothing to do with mortgages. But if you're looking to, you know, maybe downsize to save some money, and you want to sell your current home or purchase a different home, or if you are looking to go from renting to owning, it's certainly something that we can help you with. One of the biggest challenges is finding a high quality real estate agent, and just looking at a billboard or getting flyers in the mail is not the best route to go.
You mean the really good-looking blonde on the billboard is not the way to pick a...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, we do all of the vetting for you, so you can rest assured that you're getting the best in the business.
There you go.
It makes a difference. Trust me, your real estate agent makes a huge difference in the stress, the smoothness of your transaction, and the amount of money that you save.
And you have people that you've done this with, and they actually got much more money for their house.
Yeah, we're talking $40,000, $50,000 more than they expected. And it all goes to the skill of the real estate agent.
There you go.
You don't want someone who just got their license, you know, because there's a pandemic and they were bored and they thought this would be a fun way to earn an extra buck.
What if I call my sister's friend that does it part-time on weekends?
No, not a great idea.
No.
What, I hear that a lot. Oh, I have a friend of the family who's a real estate agent.
Right. Yeah, I hear that all the time. Yeah, because everybody has their license, but they don't want to do the work. Yeah,
everybody knows someone. Yes.
Yeah, everybody has a
But yeah, if you're especially if you're moving to a new area, it's really difficult to find someone who specializes in that area. It's a lot of times it's luck of the draw, and I don't want you to leave something so important to luck.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda, and you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.